I came to Nice by accident, happy accident, like most of my reading. Huddersfield in the early 80s was not an easy place to try and become a writer. There was just a very small, modest bookshop with a sort of smaller and even more modest poetry section. And I'd read or bought most of those books during one summer. And then it was either a case of trying to blag your way into the Poly Library, past the security guards, or go to the local library, which had a very eclectic and eccentric collection of books. And quite frankly, it was quicker to publish a book of poems than to try and get something on into library loan. And it's difficult to sort of remember now that, you know, the time before the internet, when before this age of instant access to absolutely everything, but that's what it was like. And I got a copy of The Burning Perch from a second-hand bookshop without knowing very much about Nice at that time, and without knowing how highly rated that particular book was. And I absolutely loved it straight away. It meant a great deal to me instantly. I read it in a garage while I was having my exhaust changed. You'll be fascinated to hear. I think that I've been trying to work out this morning what it is and what it was about McNeice that appealed to me so much at the time. And I've come to the conclusion that it's something to do with a speaking voice that I hear in McNeice's poems. Something about character, something about song. It's there in the diction, it's there in the syntax, it's there in the repetition. It sort of fitted with my experience of the world and how I'd received my understanding of art. All the art that I'd had experience of sort of came as a kind of performance, either through the radio or on TV, like Play for Today, that kind of thing, or all the Amdram stuff that my parents were doing. And we weren't a particularly bookish family. And I think what I appreciated in McNeice was this, some kind of element of performance at work in the poems. And I realised that I see McNeice's poems almost as little theatre pieces. I almost see the curtains going back when I start one of the poems. Little turns, little sketches. And of course there's quite often a dramatic and a narrative impulse as well in the poems, which again feeds into that idea of performance. Something else that appealed to me about McNeice was his ease and his comfort with the idea of being a public poet. It was something that he never really shied away from, and I suppose that, you know, Alton Journal would be the great example of that. He wasn't afraid to take on quite directly issues of the day and to reflect them in verse, and a verse which was approachable and readable. And that's also true as well, I think, about Letters from Iceland, that, you know, for all its tomfoolery and high campery and high jinks, there was a poet here wanting to try and say something, to go to an elevated geographical position above the world and to look down upon it and to make some judgments and to pass some opinions in verse. And I've always admired the sort of confident, direct approach that McNeice felt he was able to take. And that leads me to say as well that I think McNeice has always had a confidence that, and I think this might be something that's true generally of Irish poetry, there's a confidence in a common reader. The idea that if you write a poem, people might read it, not just necessarily review it or criticise it, but there might be people out there, you know, nice, educated, thinking people who will read and appreciate the work. And I see that in McNeice's style and his delivery, that he doesn't just think of poetry as some kind of subdivision of philosophy or linguistics. He has greater and broader appeal. When I was rereading John Stallworthy's biography, I came across that remark that Gaillard Dodds made to McNeice just after he published, I think, Poems in, was it 1935? And that Dodds used this phrase that he said to McNeice that he thought his poems had a live core. And I thought that was a really sort of astute thing to say. In fact, I scribbled out what he'd written to him this morning. My dear McNeice, I do like your poems. I'm astonished to find how much. Astonished because, like all modernist poems, they have the outward air of being clever, and I do hate cleverness, usually failing to understand it. But most of these seem to have a live core, and a music and a dignity which grow naturally out of that core and aren't just gummed on decoration. And that, in itself, is exactly what I think about McNeice. And I think that word live, again, relates to my idea of there being a sort of personality in these poems, as if the poems are a living enactment of an idea, and there is a vocal presentation of personality in them. And I would sort of extend that idea just to sort of thinking about some of the first lines of a McNeice poem. You know, the conductor's hands were black with money, or and this, ladies and gentlemen, or this brand of soap has the same smell. You know, these are, they're invitations into the poem, but they're more than invitations as well. And I always think of the opening of a McNeice poem as like a sort of little doormat, which says welcome on it. And you know, 9 times out of 10, the door into a McNeice poem is not going to be locked.